Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. I want to talk to you today about things that are very secure. In our lives today, there's a great deal of insecurity, and I would like to speak with you about the security that we can enjoy. I've noticed, for instance, that everything seems to be shaken these days. The integrity of people is shaken. The reliance upon hospital and medical attention seems to be shaken. Our educational system seems very shaken up. Our politics are terribly shaken up. So we find things that are shaken. When Mount St. Helens blew in the early 80s, why, it shook the earth. And here in Bend and all this area, we were covered with ash. Things happen when things are shaken. The insecurity of being shaken up. A friend of ours recently lost her parents and she was shaken. She was shaken to the core. She'd always relied on her parents and suddenly she can't rely on those parents anymore. The life is shaken up. And so we find ourselves in a fluid situation instead of a solid, grounded foundation. So I would like to talk to you for a moment or two from some words that come out of the book of Hebrews. I'm sure I've said it several times to you when I've gone to Hebrews, but some people are not sure who wrote it. Others say they are sure, and it would appear as if the Apostle Paul most likely wrote it. The interesting thing is this is a general letter that is opened to all who are Hebronic, all those who belong to the Hebrew faith, and in particular the Jews of the day in which this was written. They are challenged by the writer. And I believe, of course, that the writer is really the Holy Spirit. There's just a man who holds a pen and he writes at the dictation of the Spirit of Christ, as in all Scripture. But here we find, if we go into the 12th chapter of Hebrews, a few nuggets of truth that should help us to understand we don't have to be shaken by the outward winds that come. Those winds come upon us. I used to like to go and crew for different people on yachts. It's a great experience to have sails just blowing in the wind and the water rushing past. But sometimes the wind changes, the sails get shaken, and the boat can come to almost a standstill unless the skipper really knows what he's doing, and the crew work hard to get those sails set properly for the new wind. You can go upwind, you can go downwind, you can tack or you can go straight. There are different things that you can do once you learn to harness the wind. We need to harness the shaking that goes on in our lives today. So let me share this little word with you. The apostle, whoever he was, is writing, verse 24 of the 12th chapter of Hebrews, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then, listen to this, shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I want to share with you what these remaining things are. Everything can be shaken, it appears, but there's one thing, says the apostle, that you need to understand. There are things that will remain and cannot be shaken. I have seen walnuts harvested by a large machine grabbing hold of the trunk of the tree and shaking the tree until all the fruit comes out of the tree, bouncing down into a net, and that is kept and poured into a bin. The bin is poured into a truck, and the truck goes off to the factory where the nuts are processed. By shaking, the fruit is gathered in. I've seen tomatoes, or tomatoes, as some of you might say, and I have seen various berries, like blueberries and so on, taken from the various trees and bushes that they grow on. They are taken by shaking. The fruit of the Spirit of Christ cannot be shaken out of us. We belong to the one who gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Now, in the last days, everything will be shaken. Everything will be dissolved, except for four very basic things. And it's these four things that I want to quickly bring to your attention and cause you to think about. Peter adds to this in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, or evaporate would be another word. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Again, I think we could say that they are going to be evaporated, and it will be a tremendous triumph for the things of God. If we go back into what God says in the Gospel of Matthew, we discover in Matthew 7 some very pertinent words. In the 7th chapter, Jesus is speaking. If you look at verse 24 through 29, you will discover with me that the building on the rock is all that needs to take place. Look at it, because it's very important to every one of us. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. We need to have authoritarian speaking. You see, the Lord Jesus' parable in Matthew 7 shows us that only eternal things will stand. Consider the social, the economic, the industrial, the commercial, the gambling, the drinking, all the carousing that goes on today. Look at all the things we view on TV, and you suddenly find yourself in the place where things that pass away are evident and obvious. Which one shall I start with? How shall I speak with you and show you these truths? Well, I think we'll start in Psalm 45, and we'll glance there to discover the throne of God will not be shaken. In this beautiful psalm, the 45th psalm, verse 6, we discover these words, "Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you." And we need to understand that the throne of God is one of those things that cannot be shaken. Now, I'm aware that this world is full of evil. I'm aware that this world is full of disgusting things. But I am also aware that God is on his throne and he remembers his own and he will not fail us. I would take you very quickly to understand that there are temporal things and we need to look at them so that we can understand what is established and immovable. For instance, Psalm 46, we read from verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. And then verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What a terrific statement. Let's turn also to the 90th Psalm, because it also contains much of the same teaching and encouragement to all of us. Look at verse 12 of Psalm 90, and you hear this. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Know that you're not going to live forever unless you're loving the Lord Jesus. And you can't live with one foot in hell and one foot in heaven. You are redeemed by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Have life eternal. Also, let me take you into this eternity. The heavens will be shaken, but they will not be toppled down. Now, this is an important thing to look at. And then the first chapter of Hebrews, we discover precious, precious words. Verses 10 and 12. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old, as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. What a terrific statement that is. And it reminds us that the Lord Jesus is continually with us. There are two themes that you might consider here and take into your heart, and I need to take into mine. If the heavens will be shaken but not toppled, God is immutable and eternal, and nothing changes or shakes him. We've just read about that. But let's go into Hebrews 4. And let's discover verse 16. We find here, grace cannot be toppled. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you have a time of need, go to the throne of grace, is what is being taught here. And notice also, in the 11th verse of the 20th chapter of Revelation, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I don't know what words to use. It's a scary thought that there's no such place for us to do any Googling and looking and seeing. But we have to understand that there's judgment in those last days, and the judgment when it comes is most fierce, and it will come. Oh, I know, lots of people don't believe the word of God, and so they don't think of judgment coming. but judgment is on its way, and many people shall suffer terrifyingly because of judgment, the judgment of God. And it's because of the carelessness of people that they have ignored God, and they have ignored his love, and they have not recognized that God is love, and God is the very essence of love. If you go to Colossians and chapter 1, you find in verse 13 these words, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." What a wonderful thing. God has picked us up and put us there. So the throne of God cannot be shaken. Then I would say to you, with a great deal of love, look at and be concerned with the second thing that cannot be shaken. And the second thing that will never be shaken is the Word of God. Now, we understand three things from this. First of all, his promises can never be shaken. Somebody has calculated that there are 30,000 promises in the Word of God, and they are in the Word, and not one of them has ever failed. There is a promise for every child and every situation and every circumstance that you and I will come across. If you go into 2 Corinthians 1:20, you will discover that for sure. But first, let's just look at Peter in the first chapter and the 25th verse. We read, "But the word of the Lord endures forever." Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. This word that is preached to you will never be shaken. It stays exactly where it is. Now, I don't have the time to go into this in great detail, but there are three things. First, the promises can never be shaken. And secondly, the Word of God has a power that can never be shaken. Now, we have to look at Romans 1:16 and Hebrews 4:12 to assure us of this. The Word has power to convict people of sin. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, especially verse 37, we read how the people cried out and said, "What can we do? We were there when Jesus was crucified. We've heard that he's risen from the dead. We've accepted that testimony. But what now can we do?" And Peter says, in very real terms, "You repent, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that repentance and that place that you come to will never let you down. It has the power to convict. It also has the power to convert a soul." And Psalm 19 and verse 7 tells us that he is able to convert us, to change us, to change the direction in which we go, to change us completely so that we may follow him all the days of our lives and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 119 and verse 9 says that he is able to cleanse us. I was watching a most degrading, shocking, true film about a lady that had killed a great many people, and she was on quite a tangent. Yet they went back into her life that when she was a little girl, she was rejected by her father and her mother, left in the cold, as it were, and she turned herself into a life of sin. By the time she was 13, she was pregnant. By the time she was 14, she was married. By the time she was about 19, she was divorced. And so the tale of this girl's life was just a shocking thing. By the time she was 36, she looked to be around 56. She had worn herself out with the sexual sins and favors and with all the things that she had been involved in and the killing of people. This woman wrote a letter, and the letter said, "Please, Lord Jesus, This is a list of my known sins. I'm ashamed of them now. But will you please cleanse me? Now, God is not able to say no to such a request. And Psalm 119:9 tells us that he brings a person into cleansing. Even though their sins be as scarlet, yet they shall be washed white as wool. This woman was changed when she went to the death chamber and they injected the various solutions to kill her because of the dreadful things she had done. She was a changed woman. She was not the woman of the vengeance and wickedness, the bad-temperedness that she had been, but now she was changed. She was cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we come to the next thing in Psalm 119 and verses 49 and 50, where we find the word comfort. Comfort. When I was a young fellow, a teenager, I talked to some people about how they managed to get through being in the death camps in Germany during the war. Then when I came to this country, I made friends with a tailor who used to make my suits for me, and he was a very gracious, kind man, a little man. I don't suppose he was more than 5 feet tall. And his wife was about the same, and his story broke my heart. I had stood and watched some of these trains come into London, and when they came in, they disgorged all these odd-looking people with clothes that did not fit. I don't think a single person had a piece of cloth on their back that fitted them. They were like walking skeletons. And he told me the story how he and his wife were separated forcefully in 1939, and in 1945, at the end of the war, he knew his wife would get off one of those trains. And he stood in the station every time he knew a train was coming in from Germany, and he looked and he looked and he looked, and one day there she was, and she hardly knew how to respond to him. She hardly recognized what life was all about. And he told me the sad story, all the dreadful things. And I said to him, the two of you, did you find any comfort? You have no children as a result of all those dreadful things she suffered. But did you find any comfort? And he looked at me and he said, only in the Lord Jesus. He had suffered as a Jew. She had suffered as a Jewess at the hands of the scourge of the swastika. But here they stood quietly and said, we found comfort in the Lord Jesus. And then there is the counsel of the Word of God. Its power will never alter. The counsel of God never changes. It is always pure. It is always adaptable to our circumstance. We are always in Christ. If we put our trust in Jesus, we have life, and we have it more abundantly. Day by day, we're kept in the love of the Lord Jesus. So I just wanted to share that with you, and I will continue this in our next program, so that I may finish what I've started, for there's so much more to share. But I want to share this last word, Psalm 74, verse 23, which says, do not forget the voice of your enemies, the tumult of those who rise up against you increases continually. Now that's the New King James Version, and we need to remember it, because the enemy is there. Let's just pray. Lord, will you give to us the confidence to trust you, who cannot be shaken, and all your wonderful works are solidified. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we praise your holy name. Bless every listener, we beseech you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.